The scripture reading is found in Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah had conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God has commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck, for I have borne him a son in his old age.
Amen. It is such a joy to see kids in ministry. Kids doing the part of the worship service, you know, always brings a smile to us, the cheer and the joy, the vitality. You know, I know that, you know, I'm in my middle years myself, and I know something about vitality beginning to decline, all right? Not dead yet, don't worry about that, but, you know, as you get a little older, and then little kids, they remind us of all the energy and the life that God gives us. And depending on what we do with it and how well we take care of ourselves, you know, we want to maintain that energy as long as we can. But it's always such a joy. And we have such wonderful kids here in the Elmira Church. And we can thank God for that all the time. And today we thank God especially for their moms, okay? Moms who bear children, who bear the responsibility so much of raising them in the fear and nurture of the Lord. Moms who, without them, we wouldn't have a population, would we? Wouldn't have a country, wouldn't have a culture, wouldn't have a society. And so I want to give extra hats off and extra kudos to moms who are here today. I called the message, in fact, the miracle of mom. The miracle of mom. Before we begin, let's bow our heads. Loving Heavenly Father, in the next few moments, as we thank you for the gift of motherhood, mothers who have been the foundation of homes and families, who have sacrificed so often to raise children, moms who have been the foundation of our society. Lord, we thank you for them. And we ask, Lord, that you be with this message, the speaker and the hearer. May the words be imparted to me from your throne. May your spirit be speaking to us. And may my lips speak the words that you would speak. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever noticed something contagious about laughter? Have you ever noticed that you can be in a room, and if everybody's laughing, you may have no idea what they're laughing about, and you'll start laughing too? Has that happened to you? I was seeing on a screen a few days ago, somebody was laughing hysterically about something that I had no clue what he was laughing about, and for some reason, I started laughing too. There's a contagiousness about laughter. Well, there is about yawning too. And there is about a lot of different things. But you know how when you're in the presence of someone who's just starting to laugh, you form one of two conclusions. Either they're kind of mentally off somehow and they don't know what they're laughing about and you maybe feel sorry for them, or they're laughing about something really hilarious that has happened. Now some of you are smiling, even the concept of laughing. It's contagious. When people laugh, you tend to laugh with them. When you're in a group of people laughing, you just kind of join in. You ask later, well, what's so funny? What am I laughing about? Well, God has given us much to laugh about. Okay, he's given us monkeys and chimpanzees and strange-looking birds and humor and things. But he's given us little children. And he's given us babies in their infancies. And kids do and say the funniest things sometimes. Parents do too. I'm going to focus in on a couple of parents that you've read about at some time. Abraham and Sarah. Now they were getting up there in age, okay? In fact, even in the times that they lived in, hundreds, thousands of years ago, when people lived to be great ages in comparison to ours, they were still well past the childbearing age. And they had pretty much given up all hopes of ever having a child. Even though God had told Abraham that when he came out of the land of Ur of the Chaldees, I'm going to multiply you, I'm going to make your name great, nations will come through you, kings will be born through your descendancy, you are going to be the father of many nations. Well, by now, Abraham's approaching his 100th year in life. And Sarah is approaching her 90th year in life. And so when the Lord appears to Abraham one day and tells him, gives him these promises and says to him, next year your wife Sarah is going to have a child, what is Abraham's response? Look at it in Genesis 17. Genesis 17 in verse 15 says, God also said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you are no longer to call her name Sarah. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come down from her. Now, what was Abraham's next response? It's incredible to me. I mean, do you laugh in the presence of God? It says that Abraham fell flat on his face, laughing hysterically. Wow, that seems a little irreverent, doesn't it? And yet the very thought that he and Sarah at their age would be parenting a newborn baby? Now, I'm looking out there and I say this respectfully. I see a few ladies with gray hair out there. Lovely, beautiful ladies. And if the Lord told you that next year, or say in 9 months from now, you're going to give birth to a baby, you would probably have quite a response to that, wouldn't you? All right. Well, Sarah was kind of getting that age of maturity. She probably had a few gray hairs, and the idea of her having a baby at that age just seemed beyond the pale. It just seemed like, what? And Abraham falls down on his face, and he laughs. And again, laughter is contagious. I'm sure his servants were, well, the master's laughing. I guess we ought to laugh too. This is pretty funny. And later, in chapter 18, we find something interesting about Sarah. 18 verse 10, then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Okay, she's kind of listening in on the conversation, all right? And Abraham and Sarah were already old, well advanced in years. Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself and thought, after I'm worn out, my master is old, am I now going to have the pleasure of having a child? And she laughs. And you know what the Lord says? Where is Sarah? Sarah, why are you laughing? And what is her response? I wasn't laughing. Yes, you were, Sarah. The Lord caught her, didn't he? Laughing at the very concept of having a child that late in her life. Well, laughter is contagious. When Abraham laughed, the household laughed. When Sarah laughed, everybody laughed. And then you come to chapter 21, and this is the best picture of all. They had a little boy. Chapter 21, the Bible says, now the Lord visited Sarah as he had promised, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant, bore a son to Abraham in his old age. At the very time God had promised him, Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son Sarah, before the son Sarah had borne him. What does Isaac mean? Laughter. Hey, a little laughter. Okay. Every time they looked at Isaac, every time she held him in her arms, laughter. Because it was a continual reminder to her that God did something so spectacular, God did something so far out of the ordinary, that it made her laugh with the very idea of it. And then you skip down to verse 6, it says, Sarah said, God has brought me laughter. Everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his own age. You can imagine that household there in the tent, all the tents of the servants, every time they heard about this, they just kind of chuckled. Well, God had told them that nothing is impossible with God. And nothing is impossible to a woman, to a mother, who is dedicated to God. And who has dedicated her children to God. Let's talk about motherhood for a few moments. Mothers, did you know you have more power than just about anybody else in the world. You have power available to you because you have a direct line to the King of the universe who sits on a throne and who listens intently to the prayers of a mother. And there's power there. Mothers are incredible people. I have a mother. Well, she's passed on now, back in 1994. But I remember growing up and the protectiveness of my mother as there in the plains of northern Michigan, we faced these terrible storms that would come in during the springtime and in the fall. And I remember my mother, as we were sitting in the house and the lightning would be flashing and the thunder would be booming, she would be out on the front porch, looking up into the heavens, watching the clouds stirring in their boiling, rolling, fierce anger. And she would be facing the heavens, praying for the safety of her family during these storms that would hit us up there in northern Michigan. I remember Mom and the sacrifices she made. You know, there's an old story about when there's only 4 pieces of blueberry pie and there's 5 people to share it. Suddenly it's Mother who decides she doesn't really like blueberry pie. You know what I'm talking about? And it seems to be the mother in the family who's always bearing the sacrifices, always going without something so that others can have, always deciding that it's best what happens to my child than happens to me. And it's always the mother who becomes the quintessential example of a mother bear. What do I mean by a mother bear? Moms, if someone slaps you on the cheek, you may turn the other cheek. If someone messes with your kid, then they're in trouble, right? I know. I see how you are in the playground. You go to the playground and you watch these moms with their little kids and everything's going okay. But if some other kid starts messing with your kid or bullying your child around, you are in there in a flash. Right? Mess with me if you want to. Don't mess with my kid. You know, that's the way God made you to be. Protectors of our children. Mothers are one or who we honor during this time of the year. Mothers whose greatest desire is that their children will grow to be strong and healthy, they will grow to be good citizens, and especially in the setting of this church, who will grow up to love Jesus and be ready for His soon coming. Isn't that the heart's desire of every sincere mother? That their children will grow to love Jesus? Now, we hear mothers whose children have gone different directions. I want to assure you in this message, God is not through with your children. Because if it's possible, and it is, God loves your children so much, He will answer with a rapt ear. As He sits upon His throne, He listens to the prayers of praying mothers. As their prayers ascend the throne of glory. And He listens to the heartfelt prayers of moms and fathers, but moms somehow in particular, as they pray for the well-being and salvation of their children. And so, mothers, I encourage you, raise your children in the nurture of the Lord. Set them the best example that you can. And I have never talked to a mother who said that I did it perfectly right all the time. Okay? Moms don't always get it right. You know, that's one reason I think the Lord gives us children, is just in case we get too uppity and filled with our own pride. You know, He gives us children to teach us how to be humble. To teach us dependency upon Him. To teach us that we don't always get it right. We don't always make the right decisions. And yet, we are still the mothers. And upon the mothers, God lays the responsibility of setting the environment of the home. Oh, the fathers have a responsibility too. Don't misunderstand me. But to establish the quality of life that takes place in the home. So when the children come home from school, or they come home after a day of playing outside, whatever happens, they have the assurance and security, there's Mom. And Mom will love me no matter what I do. Oh, she may scold me. She may punish me. But she will bandage up the wounds and the scabs on my knees. She will make sure that my home is a pleasant place. She will provide good food for me. She will tuck me in at night. She will sometimes tell stories as I go to sleep. She will do everything she can to make my home a place where I grow up in security and happiness. Mothers, you know, it was with this thought in mind that some years ago, Mother's Day was established. I'm going to share with you the history of Mother's Day. And you may be surprised at some of the things you hear about it. But let me just share this for a couple of moments. Mother's Day, in one form or another, has been around for a long time. In ancient Greece, a celebration honoring mothers occurred every spring. During the Middle Ages, a custom called Mothering Sunday began when children who often left home early to learn a trade or become apprentices would be released from their work every year on the fourth Sunday of Lent to attend church with their families. As they returned home, they often took cakes or little gifts to their mothers. They honored their mothers. This was termed going a-mothering. And to this day, Mother's Day in the United States is celebrated right around the fourth Sunday of, they call it, Lent. It was in 1872 that Julia Ward Howe, she was the author of the Battle Hymn of the Republic, suggested the idea of Mother's Day in the United States. The cause was taken up by an Anna Jarvis, daughter of a Methodist minister. Jarvis had felt the scars of the Civil War, felt that he could be healed by mothers and by honoring mothers. She died in 1905 before her dream of establishing a holiday could be fulfilled. But her daughter, also named Anna Jarvis, took up the crusade. Anna had been deeply influenced by her mother, and she often recalled hearing her mother say that she hoped someone would one day establish a memorial for all mothers, living and dead. Anna had been particularly touched at age 12 while listening to her mother teach a Sunday school class on the subject, Mothers in the Bible. Mrs. Jarvis closed the lesson with a prayer to this effect. I hope and pray that someone, sometime, will found a memorial Mother's Day. There are many days for men, but none for mothers. Anna never forgot that moment, and at their mother's graveside service, Anna's brother Claude heard her say, by the grace of God, you shall have a Mother's Day. She thus began a campaign to establish a national Mother's Day. She and her supporters began to write a constant stream of letters to ministers, businessmen, politicians, and newspaper editors. She spent a fortune trying to attract attention to her idea and took every opportunity to give speeches, send telegrams, or write articles promoting her cause. On the second anniversary of her mother's death, May 12, 1907, Anna led a small tribute to her mother at Andrews Methodist Episcopal Church in Gaffney, West Virginia. She donated 500 white carnations, her mother's favorite flower, to be worn by everyone in attendance. You mothers have a little flower given to you today. On this first Mother's Day service, the pastor used the text, Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. That same day, a special service was held at the Wanamaker Auditorium in Philadelphia, which could seat no more than a third of the 15,000 people who showed up. After that, things began taking off. Various states jumped on the bandwagon, officially proclaiming a Mother's Day each year, and in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson officially established Mother's Day, a national holiday to be held on the second Sunday of May. That would be tomorrow for us. And having succeeded at last, Anna Jarvis soon became embittered by the commercialization of the holiday and turned against it, actually filing a lawsuit to stop a 1923 Mother's Day festival. Now, my wife and I argue about this. I tell her, honey, I would rather get you flowers all year long. But Mother's Day has been so commercialized and so, guys, let's be honest, guilt-laden for some of us, that sometimes we, you know, it's like Christmas, you know, there's so much advertising and so much guilt-ladenness about it. It's almost like, man, if I don't get those flowers for the wife, you know, I'm in trouble, you know. Well, that's just part of the commercialization of our culture. And yet the meaning of Mother's Day still exists. We honor our mothers because of what they have gone through to raise us and give us the kind of life that we have today. Well, Jarvis growled, this is not what I intended. I wanted it to be a day of sentiment, not profit. And that makes good sense to me. Okay? A printed card means nothing except you're too lazy to write to the woman who has done more for you than anyone in the world, she said on another occasion. And candy, you take a box to mother and then eat most of it yourself. A pretty sentiment. And shortly before her death, Anna Jarvis, living in a nursing home, received Mother's Day cards from all around the world. But she told a reporter she was sorry she ever started the whole thing. Well, it concludes, we aren't. Because mothers deserve to be honored for the work that they do, for the sacrifices they make, the prayers that they raise to God for the well-being of their children. We honor our mothers. And we always should honor our mothers. Not just on Mother's Day. But what is Mother's Day really? It's a reminder to us that we need to be honoring our mothers all year long. And remembering the sacrifices that we make. Hi, Mom, we cry out when the cameras are on us after we have made our big splash in the news one day. After we have hit that game-winning home run. We give honor to Mom on special occasions. And as we look back at our lives, we remember the times when we have not always honored our mothers. I say it with sadness that some of the flippant words that I have used and some of the attitudes I have given to my mom have not always, you know, been good. And I say that with shame. And yet as I look back to my own mother and I read the examples of mothers in the Bible and I see the mothers who are gathered here in the Elmira Church this morning, it reminds me again that God has given motherhood such a privileged and special place in our world because it is through the mother that the child is raised and given the example of what it means to be part of God's family. Oh, we talk about the fatherhood of God. But remember it was Jesus who, as he wept over the city of Jerusalem, prayed, "How often I would have gathered you like a mother hen under my wings," the protectiveness of a mother. Think of Sarah again. When she gave birth to Isaac, she called him by the very name of Isaac. She called him laughter, laughter, because everyone is laughing now. The whole household is in side-splitting laughter because of what has happened here. But it was a few years after that, as her child was growing up, that she noticed that this son of this other woman, Hagar the Egyptian, was picking on her son, and her motherly, mother bear instincts immediately came to the forefront. And she says, "No more of this. Abraham, kick this woman out of our household." Because the protective nature of Sarah now came to the forefront. She wanted what was best for her child. And every mother wants what's best for her child. I see many mothers here today. Some who are agonizing over the spiritual condition of your children. Some who are still raising children. And I'm going to make an appeal today. I'm going to make a special invitation. I'm going to grab the other microphone. And I'm going to come here on the floor. And I'm going to ask moms to come up and join me. You have a burden for your children, and I want to pray for you in a special way. And I'm going to ask mothers to come up and join me, if you would. And I'm going to ask the elders to come up too, all right, and to be part of this. Mothers, whether your children are small, whether they are grown, you are still an influence on these children, okay? You still have a role to play, even if your children are grown up. We're going to pray for you that you're still a good influence on your children. And we're going to pray for your children because we know what it is to agonize over children. We know that you want nothing more than to see your children raised up and to unite with the Lord Jesus and to become part of his family and be ready when Jesus comes. All you moms, come on up. All you moms. And the elders are here as well. Yeah. There we have a mother and daughter right there. Daughter-in-law. Let's pray together. Loving and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so privileged to have moms. They set us an example. They tend to us. They care for us. They love us for reasons we sometimes don't understand. And yet they do because they're our mothers. Lord, it's a miracle that you have given us. You have given us these wonderful women who have not only borne us, but they have birthed us. And now, Lord, they carry upon their hearts and their shoulders the burden of raising us and helping us to be the kind of people you desire us to be. Lord, we know it is beyond human ability to raise someone, and even after they are raised, to still influence them towards a walk with you. And so, Lord, I'm praying in behalf of every one of these mothers today that you would bless them with such a godly spiritual example that their children will be drawn to the Jesus that dwells within them. Help them, Lord. Help their kids. May your Spirit be poured upon every one of them. And Lord, we just pray that you help each mother to rejoice in the knowing, in the knowledge that their prayers are ascending to your throne, that you are listening, you are hearing, and yes, you are answering. Your Spirit is at work in the hearts and lives of every one of their children just now. Lord, thank you for mothers. Thank you for the love and care that they have. Thank you for the experience of having a mother. And we just ask that you bless them. We ask that you encourage them. We ask that you help them to realize that their work is not in vain. But it may every moment, every day be a joy and an experience as they raise their loved ones and as they influence their loved one, young or old, to be part of your kingdom and your family. Lord, we pray this through the ministry of your Spirit and in the name of Jesus, and thanking you again for the wonderful ladies who are mothers here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless our mothers. The wonderful example you do, the sacrifices you make, the efforts you make to raise your children to love the Lord. We'll continue to pray for you. Continue to pray for your families.